Hello and welcome to this Lush podcast on activism in existence, the series that seeks to uncover the individual's story and their experiences of being an activist, how they've changed the world and how activism has changed them. The series will showcase the diversity of individuals and their approach within activism and what it means to be a glitch in the system. In this episode, we spoke with Anthony Bellotti, founder and president of White Coat Waste Project, a taxpayer watchdog organisation who fight against taxpayer and government-funded experiments on animals in the United States. What is your story?
You might think my story, my personal background, was working in an animal welfare organization, animal rights, anti-vivisection organization. My story is a little bit different. I founded White Coat after a career in political campaigns, American campaigns and elections, learning how to do PR, how to do research, how to do advertising, fundraising on behalf of political campaigns and causes. I spent 15 years working campaigns like Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger of California, a lot of ballot initiatives, American Congress members and senators. And I learned a skill set that I thought would be applicable towards fighting against my true passion, my real cause, what gets me out of bed in the morning, gives me fire in the belly, which is taking the fight to experiments on animals and anti-vivisection. But a couple years ago, I realized that there wasn't anyone in the United States working on the root cause of the animal testing problem, government spending. In other words, there were plenty of groups doing good work on behalf of, let's say, cruelty-free cosmetics. There were plenty of organizations doing lab animal rescue. There were plenty of groups doing animal welfare reform. There was nobody working on how do we get to the core of this problem, which is stopping it before it starts, as opposed to treating the symptoms. How do we cure the disease here? Which meant going right to the funding source. And in the United States, that's the U.S. government. At $20 billion a year, the U.S. federal government is the largest funder of animal testing on planet Earth. And I didn't know that at the time when I got started in my career, but I realized that that was the best way to make a difference, was to build an organization around a problem that nobody else was tackling. I initially got interested in anti-vivisection, another strange turn of events, when I was 17 years old, a long time ago, 1995, I accidentally got a summer internship witnessing and assisting with a vivisection in the U.S. in a laboratory in New York. And I saw this problem as a youngster. I saw it firsthand, and I didn't like what I saw, was horrified by it, and wanted to do something about it. So here we are. The rest is history.
What is your idea of activism?
Our idea of activism is really taxpayer advocacy. It's giving a voice and hopefully a choice to taxpayers, at least in the United States, where we don't have one. We are forced to pay $20 billion a year. $20 billion a year, whether we like it or not. And we have no choice over the United States with vivisection. It's not like boycotting, which is a form of activism, or shopping or buying cruelty-free, or shopping with your dollars. You can do that with, say, the cosmetics testing problem. In the United States, where the problem is government, you can't do that. You can't just boycott. You can't just make conscious lifestyle choices. You can't just buy the right brand. It's not going to do it where I'm from. Where I'm from, it's a different kind of advocacy is needed. We got to cut government spending. What we do is we find, expose, and defund. FED is our acronym. Find, expose, defund. You know, we do a lot of Freedom of Information Act, combing through those government receipts. You know, what are they spending the money on? We do a lot of that investigation. Expose, E. I just talked about the F. That's the find. And then what do we do with it? Then we expose it. So we do a lot of work with the press. We do a lot of advertising. Online advertising, billboards, TV ads. We get the word out with the press. We get the word out with advertising. But that's not enough. You know, I mean, that's necessary, but not sufficient. First, you got to find it, then you got to expose it. People got to be aware of it. They can't do anything unless they know about it. But even then, it's raising awareness is not enough. You gotta close the deal. We gotta close it. We gotta bring it full circle. And that's where the D, the last thing we do, comes in. Defund. And that's really, I think, that's the innovation that White Coat has brought to the public square. You know, a lot of groups outside of the U.S., inside the U.S., were doing the finding before and exposing them. That's great, but that's not new. What we did that is new is we did all of that, plus we've now brought a mechanism to roll this stuff back, to get it off the taxpayer's back. That's to defund it. So what we do then is we organize, turn out grassroots support, we organize them, we educate the taxpayers, and then we give them something to do. So we give them, call Congress, write letters to the editor, contact places like the Department of Veterans Affairs to stop abusing dogs in experiments, contact the United States Department of Agriculture to stop slaughtering and incinerating kittens with my tax money. So we help organize them and give them a voice.
What does it mean to be an activist as an individual?
You have a lot more power than you might think. You know, as an individual, as an activist, the truth is people get demoralized. They think my voice has no say. I have no difference. Well, it's not true. It's not true. You know, as an individual, you have a stake in this, whether you like it or not. At least the way we approach it with White Coat, because we work on the tax problem, it's your problem. Everybody is forced to pay for this. We brought everybody into the fight. So every individual has a stake in this. Every individual is funding this stuff, is paying for it whether they like it or not. It's not like, well, that's not my problem. Well, yeah, it is your problem. Your money's going for this. Heck, even if you agree with vivisection, do you really want to be the one forced to pay for it? Shouldn't it be a choice? So as an individual, you know, we believe we've shared a new emphasis on what an individual's activism can mean here. I think what we've done is shown the individual now activist the fact that they are also have a stake in this and can make a difference.
Who or what has influenced you and given you strength in your activism?
My colleagues, first and foremost. I have good ones. I have some of the best in the world now. My team members, it's a team sport. So I look to inspiration from my colleagues. I'm also a musician. I'm a drummer. And I had some very good drum teachers over the years. And growing up, I had one who, at least one of my teachers in high school, told me once, look, you borrow riffs from anyone you can. You start to curate your chops, right? You're curating like a museum collection. You pick a little from this guy, a little bit of that guy, a little bit of Buddy Rich, a little bit of John Bonham. You pull in that which you like and absorb whatever you can and filter out what's relevant and what's not for your style. And then that's what we do here. I mean, in my career, I've had great mentors over the years. I've in very, very different worlds outside of activism, just in my former life as a campaign consultant. I learned from some of the best on political campaigns. I learned how to do opposition research, for example, with the Arnold Schwarzenegger's gubernatorial campaign. I learned a heck of a lot from that campaign. I learned a heck of a lot from everything I've been exposed to on behalf of clients, on behalf in the past, on behalf of my colleagues now. So I try to draw from wherever I can get inspiration and filter out which is going to be most useful.
What has activism done to change you?
It's very interesting. I'm very fortunate that I am right here now with White Coat working on really my life's mission here. My job is also my passion. That's not always been the case for me, and it's not always the case for most people. A lot of people who are passionate about stuff, they don't get to work on it 24/7. They don't get to work on it for a full-time professional career. The first thing I think about when I wake up and the last thing I think about before I go to sleep is also what I get to do all day long, which is defunding and defeating government experiments on animals. So I know I'm blessed and I'm fortunate that I get to do that. You know, when I was 17 and I saw this problem firsthand and I said I want to dedicate my life to this, you know, I'm very fortunate. I feel I've been able to unite my activism with my professional work. And that is not a blessing that most people get. Most people, you know, work for the man or got to pay the bills. Or I'm very fortunate that I've been able to do both that which I love and that which I set out to do.
for White Coat Waste, what do you consider a win?
We've been also blessed with a lot of wins over the last few years. In the United States, I think, is where it's at on anti-vivisection. It hasn't been the case for forever. I mean, this issue ebbs and flows in different countries. Italy had produced some amazing stuff over the last few years. Before that, the UK, no doubt. Right now, I think the US is where it's at. I'm certainly proud of the work the contribution White Coat has been making over the last couple of years. Best yet to come. I'll give you just a couple of examples. And all of this, pretty much the only wins that came on behalf of animals, certainly animals in labs, during the Trump administration era in D.C., which has only been for 2 years, pretty much 100% of all the victories for animals in labs has come out of White Coat. Just a few examples. In 2018, our campaign against the Food and Drug Administration's baby monkey nicotine addiction experiments came full circle. We ended it. We shut it down, knocked it out, ended the experimentation, where baby monkeys were isolated and forced to push levers to get hits of nicotine for stupid, pointless experiments that we didn't need to be doing. Abuse, cruel, wasteful. We ended that. Done. Knocked it out completely, and for the first time in history, the FDA agreed not just to kill the animals, but to retire them. More importantly, in response to our campaign, they established their first ever animal welfare council and are now beginning to look at and question the use of their primates in everything across the board. At the Department of Veterans Affairs, we, for the first time, again, in history, got the U.S. House of Representatives to defund dog labs at a government agency. Never been done before. In the United States, unlike in, say, for example, the EU, rats and mice and birds and that stuff, they're not counted. Those animals aren't counted. We've started to turn the tide on some of those things with initial precedents and steps like conducting the first ever audits of government animal spending and transparency. Not one, but two of them we've secured in the last 2 years. It's very hard to do. At the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, we have secured key language from Congress urging cuts to government spending on forcing animals to ingest horrible pollutants in their experiments at the EPA. At the USDA, earlier this year, we exposed a infamous kitten slaughterhouse where for 50 years, in toxoplasmosis experiments, cats were being bred, 8-week-old kittens. 8 to 10 weeks old, bred, slaughtered, incinerated for, again, pointless experiments. Nobody knew what was going on. We brought it to light, whipped up a media frenzy, already have a full-scale defund bill introduced in the House of Representatives. So there's been quite a lot of successes, best yet to come, but also a lot more work to be done, too.
What is your next goal?
We got to finish a lot of what we started. We've got still more work to be done until, for example, the USDA's kitten slaughterhouse is knocked out. We're not going to stop. We have other government agencies to clean up as well. A lot more work to be done at places like the EPA, at places like the USDA. We need to continue defunding and defeating forced taxpayer-funded experimentation in the United States.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to hear more from Lush, an ever-growing archive contains interviews, debates, and stories with a wide range of charities, organizations, and individuals, please download the free Lush Player app, which is available for both Android and Apple. If you'd like to know more about Anthony and his work, you can go to their website, whitecoatwaste.org, or find them on Twitter and Instagram at whitecoatwaste.